who may or may not be at his occasional coastal base of Port Fairy. How are you, Des?
Well, thanks, Matt. Good morning to you and your listeners.
Where do I find you this morning?
No, back in Melbourne, Matt. We were down at the lovely Port Fairy the last couple of weeks for the fantastic May Race Carnival at Warrnambool, but no, back in Melbourne at the moment.
Just a quick reflection on the May Racing Carnival. What struck me was the weather gods, how kind they were. It was a light northerly blowing for most of the 3 days, and it was almost T-shirt weather, wasn't it?
It was unusual, and particularly when the weather forecast was for rain on the Wednesday and a downpour on Thursday, so everybody was fearing the worst because, you know, very rarely you get three fine days at Warrnambool in May. But the weather gods turned the way of the Warrnambool Racing Club, and it was a fantastic three-day carnival, and the crowds were terrific. I understand the betting was way up as well, and the racing was fantastic.
And it was lovely to have a chat to you and Ray Murrahy, of course, your cousin, about your old footballing days and your growing up on the farms. It was just fantastic to hear. It was kind of a nice and loose, given that you guys are now in retirement, so it was a really lovely conversation. And when I speak of retirement, of course, your boss has been long retired, Pat Lawler, and he was inducted into the Racing Hall of Fame yesterday or the day before, earlier this week. And I thought, who better to talk about Pat Lawler than the man who was both under him and succeeded him? And that's you. And I've got his bio in front of me, and there's a few things that have jumped out at me that I wonder whether you even knew. Did you know that his real Christian name is Lloyd?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I knew that LP Lawler had appeared in all the race books, but the first thing Pat would say to somebody, Pat Lawler's the name, and Pat's what I want to be known as. So,
did he think Lloyd Lawler sounded a bit funny, did he?
He probably did, but even when I started very young, you know, Pat encouraged people to call him by his first name as Pat. So we developed a very strong relationship very early in my pieces of Stuart.
Well, he was one of 10 children and grew up at Healesville, and he's now very familiar face up at the Healesville picnic races over the summer months. And he was the chief steward for 17 years, and for a large part of that, you were his deputy. What sort of a boss and what sort of a man was Pat Lawler?
Well, firstly, I think it's fantastic that Pat's recognised for his wonderful career as a steward primarily. And it recognises the role of the stewards in racing. It's a very important role, and I think it's just fantastic that Pat was recognised in the manner he was. And it's thoroughly earned. He's been a wonderful steward. When I first started in 1972, Pat really was of great assistance to me, and I remember very early working at a COLAC meeting, and Pat was in charge, and you know, he'd plonk himself beside you and give you advice on what's the best way to become a good steward, and race reading was the number one priority back then. And you know, of all the stewards that I've worked with around the world, that there was no better race reader as a steward anywhere than Pat Lawler. He was the master of race reading, and to me that is the number one asset for being a top steward.
You know what might have been the secret there? He rode as an amateur for 10 years, didn't he? And
Yes. And he was a horseman. You know, he understood horses, and that also helped. But he had a great eye for a race, and he could pick a dead and a fair way out.
And I do know some people who are still in the game who reflect on the Pat Lawler era. One of them's a prominent trainer who said Lawler's method would be prevention rather than cure, and what he would do is he'd tap you on the shoulder, bring you in and say, I know what you've been up to, don't do it again.
Yes, and it worked very effectively back then, and that's one of the things that I did learn from Pat also. And you know, if you can prevent something happening, well, it saved a lot of people a lot of work. And you know, and Pat was a master at that as well.
The era, sort of 80s, predominantly 80s, and then touching into the 90s. What was that like as for you as his deputy and for Pat as the chief steward? I know that the role of the chief steward has evolved over the years. It's sort of become a split role. There's a race day role. There's a behind-the-scenes role. But back then, the chief steward was the policeman of everything almost, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. And you know, Pat took over from Jim Ahern, and Pat was chairman for 17 years, but it was very different back then. You know, it's evolved since then, and with the number of race meetings, there's a lot more race meetings now than there were back when Pat was in charge. We very rarely raced on a Sunday, for example, and there was always a rest day during the week. So you had a chance to gather your thoughts and get ready for the next race meeting. But, it's evolved since then, and it's the chief steward's role now is basically looking after the race day activities, and the director of integrity services looks after the other activities that are important for upholding the integrity of the racing.
I'm just trying to think of some of the major dramas or issues or incidents of that era. Do any jump to mind of any of the biggest inquiries under Pat Lawler?
Well, I think the Arrow Cup inquiry was huge, and Pat was in charge of that, and John Trek and myself and Bill Brewer were part of the panel that inquired into the circumstances surrounding that, and that took a long time and went through the appeals process. But Pat was involved in a number of inquiries, running and handling inquiries, where people who did breach the rules were disqualified for periods of time, and drug inquiries and all those sorts of things. So they come up from time to time and rear their ugly heads, but Pat was always in control, and he certainly had the respect of the people within the industry. And not only that, Pat had a great reputation internationally, and his expertise was sought by racing jurisdictions right around the world. And I remember at one stage he went to India for a coaching program for the stewards in India. That's how well thought of he was right around the world, and he attended conferences all over the racing world. But his reputation was the highest level.
Did he ever get any bullets in the letterbox like his successor?
I think he got a threat or two, which is par for the course. But Pat had shrug it off and then put his head down and worry about the next issue that was sure to come up.
We know what sort of a steward he was, but when I ask this question, I think I half know the answer. What sort of a man is and was he back then? I know he's still doing well, Pat. I think a hard but fair steward and a hard but fair man, would that be right?
Yes, he's a terrific person when you know Pat personally, and we became great friends. We didn't always agree on everything, but that's the nature of the steward's roles. But we became great friends and still are. He was hard and tough but fair. And I think that's the number one requirement of being a good steward. You treat everybody equally, and as long as you're hard and fair and treat the wrongdoers the way they should be treated, you'll gain the respect of the people within the industry.
Absolutely, absolutely. Des, I got a bee in my bonnet. Big bee. It's almost a wasp from the Hall of Fame noms. Darren Gauchy, I assumed, had long been in the Hall of Fame. And then I saw Hugh and the Babe come up as the next two to make it 47. And there was someone on a racing forum that said, "Where's the Gouch?" And I went back through and thought there must have been an omission or a typo. How is Darren Gauchy not in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, well, I'm not on the selection panel either, Matt. But I've got no doubt that Darren, with what he's achieved within the racing industry, he'll be recognised probably in the near future.
Are you surprised he hasn't already been recognised?
Oh, well, there are just so many top riders that have been in the racing industry in Australia over quite a number of years that it's hard to say that he should be in and somebody should be out. But I'm sure that Darren's contribution will be recognised sooner than later. And he's not only since he's finished riding, but he's now tutoring all the apprentices in Victoria. And I know he went to Tasmania and conducted a forum for the apprentices down there, which was extremely well received because he's got such a wonderful reputation in the racing industry. And I'm sure that he'll be recognised, as I said, sooner than later.
Do you think current participants should... I just think those whose careers have passed should be given probably a higher emphasis than those whose careers are still in the run. But anyway, that's just me, and I'm just banging on about it. Des, lovely to have a chat to you about Pat, and I know Pat's still doing really well, and it's always great to see him bob up at the Healesville picnics and other places. Early in my career, I do remember him as exactly how you've described him, as hard but fair.
Yes, he certainly was, and as I said, it's fantastic news for stewards around Australia to see somebody with Pat's reputation being recognised in the manner he is. And I just think it's great for Pat and great for stewarding and to see him rewarded in that manner.
Who do you reckon will get in first, you or the Gouch?
You have long odds on. I think you'd be a fairly sure price favourite there, Matt.
Ruffies do get up occasionally. Good on you, Des. Thank you.
Good, mate. Good as hell.